All right, turn with me if you will in your Bible. We're reading together this morning the chapter for our consideration, the 9th chapter of the book of Numbers, in which the Lord gives specific instruction to Israel concerning this matter of the Passover. Numbers in chapter 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men now, who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. They came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month. Notice the difference between verse 5 and verse 11. Verse 5, the command is for the first month. Now for these men, on the 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. He shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that is born in the land. And in the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night. That the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Well, whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. We'll turn in a few minutes for that text. Turn back with me now to Numbers and chapter 9. And we read the entire text of that chapter together, that you might have before you all of the scripture in its context. In studying this chapter, I was overwhelmed again with the extent of the teaching in just these few verses. I thought first about dividing the chapter into two sermons in order to take it all in. In fact, I actually considered three sermons, three different possibilities. There's a great deal of preaching could be done for you men who would like to take it up in verse 2. Alone, there is a great deal of preaching could be done there. A great deal of preaching could be done from verse 13, all by itself. A number of different ways that it could be looked at, this chapter. But then I divided, thought rather to offer to you simply two complete outlines of this text of Scripture. One that I will attempt to bring to you in a sermon this morning, and the other that I will simply suggest it to you and leave it for your own study and use at a future time. So first I give you the outline that I'm suggesting to you that you take and use it as you please. One way to look at this chapter and divide it, this what I've called an alternate outline. First of all, number one, there is a marvelous continuity in the work of God. A marvelous continuity in the work of God. That's seen in verses 1 through 5. The Passover, you remember, was kept in Egypt and immediately after leaving Egypt. It will yet again be kept for Israel in Jordan in the future. And now, here in the wilderness, it is commanded to be kept again. Here in this land between. And it is, might I say, critical that we maintain the continuity in the work of God, especially in the land between. And so there was a continuity in the work of God. Number two, there was a marvelous consistency in the Word of God. Verse 14, and if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover to the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for the one born in the land. There is this marvelous consistency in the Word of God. One ordinance, he says. It makes no difference to me if it's a stranger passing through your land or if it's those born here. There's one ordinance. There's a marvelous consistency. One ordinance, one God for all. Thirdly, there is a marvelous constancy in the ways of God. Verse 16, so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And God didn't change the method. God didn't swap things around. God didn't delight in variety and the spice of life. So it was always. There was a marvelous constancy in the ways of God. Would that our generation could learn that. And fourthly, there was a marvelous conformity in the walk with God. Verse 17 and 18 said it well, did it not? When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. The place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. There was a marvelous conformity in the walk with God among these people at that time. And so I suggest that outline to you for preaching this chapter. But for this morning, however, I want us to see how that the message of the book of Numbers moves quite methodically from the salvation of God in chapter 8. You remember chapter 8, election and atonement and the priesthood and the cleansing, and all that was in that chapter, bespeaking, as I said to you, the message of salvation, the gospel in Romans 8. That might be a good message title, the gospel in Numbers chapter 8. I said Romans, I meant Numbers. But anyway, this morning to see how that the message of God moves from the salvation of God in chapter 8 to the walking with God in chapter 9. Following on to know His will, following in the path of obedience. In that connection, notice with me that there is first leadership for Israel in her worship. The Passover, about which so much of the Old Testament Scriptures speaks. The Passover. It is the centerpiece of all of Israel's worship. In fact, to this very day, it is and remains to be the centerpiece of all of Israel's worship. True worship, as seen in the Passover observance, especially recognizes the following four things. First, it recognizes God's authority over all flesh. He commands the giving of these lives, the sacrificing of these animals. We would say these innocent animals. This represents God's authority, is seen in this Passover, over all flesh. God's peculiar covenantal care for His own is seen in this Passover. This is not an ordinance which God instituted for men at large. This is not a command God has given which has to do with all the men of all the earth. This is that covenantal relationship. This is that institution which addresses itself to the people of God in their peculiar covenantal relationship with God. As well as that, in this Passover, God's appointed means for protection is seen. It is by the observance of this Passover and through that observance, their acknowledging, their standing, their relationship, their covenantal standing with this God, and in observing that and in declaring that, as it were, to the world at large, they identify themselves with this Jehovah God, and He bears upon them His protection, His blessing. As well as that, this Passover, you remember, as well as what I just said, it bespeaks His protection of His people, because you remember how it played out in Egypt. They put the blood And because of the presence of that blood, the angel passed over. The death angel passed over their house. And so that blood, that Passover observance, identified them with the protection of God. But fourthly, it identifies them with God's power in deliverance. As a result of that Passover, Egypt turned them loose and let them go, and they were set free, and they were given the power of deliverance by that Passover. So we see in this 8th chapter the leadership of God in Israel's worship. All this and more is wrapped up in that Passover command. Observe, he said. Now we have the tribe set in place at the four corners of the compass. We have the perimeters established. We have all the Levites and their tribe, the tribes put in place around the tabernacle. We have the tabernacle built. We have the fixture set in place. We have the priesthood now set in place and cleansed and set in order in chapter 8. And everything is now ready. And God says, now, observe that Passover. So the leadership in Israel's worship set forward for us in this chapter, this most significant centerpiece of Israel's worship. Secondly, leadership for, not only leadership for Israel's worship, but leadership for Israel's wanderings is displayed in this chapter. You remember in verses 15? On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, immediately God provided leadership for their wandering in this wilderness. As soon as it was reared up and covered the tabernacle, there was a cloud that covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So that in the day there was the cloud in the day, there was the fire at night. There was leadership of God. When the cloud moved, the people moved. When the cloud stayed, the people rested. And God led His people by means of this thing. There was leadership for Israel's wanderings. Their directions. Exodus chapter 13 spells it out for us. In chapter 13 and verse 21, the Lord went before them by day. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not only the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. He gave it to them to lead them the way. There was leadership for Israel's wanderings. Hear me this day. There is leadership for our wanderings as we find ourselves as believers in the Lord Jesus in this land between, this hostile land between. We're no longer property of Pharaoh. We're no longer in Egypt in the sense of spiritually. We've been delivered. We've been brought out. We've been brought across. And we find ourselves, however, not yet in Canaan's land. We are in this land between. And in this land, there's leadership for our wanderings. And what is it, children? What is it God has given us to lead us in these wanderings? Oh, we sang about it, didn't we? Holy Bible, Book Divine. He has given us this light that we have to guide us in our wanderings in this world. Psalm chapter 119, the whole chapter talks about it. But verse 105 is especially unique. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the lamp. This is the light that God has given us to know what to do and how to do it and where to go Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. The Word of God. He's given us leadership for our wanderings. He's given us leadership for our worship. He's given us leadership for our wanderings. And thirdly, He's given us leadership for our wondering. We sometimes wonder, don't we? We use that expression, don't we? We say, well, I wonder what He's going to do today. I wonder where we're going. I wonder what that tastes like. You understand the word wondering? Well, the Lord's given us leadership for wondering. And they, as He did with the children of Israel here it is. You remember, I read it to you. The Lord laid out for them in verses 1 through 4 to do this, to keep the Passover. Well, then there was these men who weren't sure what to do. They said, well, wait a minute, but we've been defiled by dead body, and we can't come. And so we were wondering, what are we to do? What are we to do? And what about if a man is away? I mean, he couldn't avoid it. He had to be away on the day that this Passover was to be held. We're wondering, what are they to do? What are these people to do? Israel had a great deal of wondering, and they asked. They brought it to the Lord. There's another verse that you men could preach, verse 8. Oh my, the preaching that's in verse 8. They wondered, and what did the Lord Moses say to them? Stand still! And I'll hear what the Lord says. And did the Lord speak? Oh yes, verse 9. The Lord spake to Moses. And He said, all right, you're wondering? I have the answer. Here's what you to do. Listen to me. There's leadership for our wondering. When we wonder, when we're not sure, when we're not certain what to do in the work of the Lord, in the will of the Lord, in our day-to-day lives, when we're not sure what to do, stand still and wait. And listen. Listen to the Holy Bible, Book Divine. Listen. There's light. There's leadership for our wondering. It doesn't matter what the question is. When doubt comes to our hearts, when uncertainty comes to our hearts, and I've been there so many times, oh, when there's no light, no light, and you say, I've got to do something, I don't know what to do, you have no light, stand still. Wait. He has leadership for wondering. Israel was wondering what to do. And God spoke to Moses. God spoke. Our Lord has leadership for us. Notice the components of that leadership in our text. That's important. I didn't want to leave it. You see, leadership for our wondering has some components that are revealed in our text. First of all, their submission to God's appointed means. In particular, submission to godly counsel from men whom God has appointed. Did you notice that? Verse 23, look at it. Verse 23. And at the commandment of the Lord they rested. And at the commandment of the Lord they came to Moses, and Moses said, they came to Moses. Verse 4, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover. But there were, verse 6, there were certain men who were defiled by the bodies, by a dead body, and they could not keep the Passover that day. And they came before Moses. And before Aaron on that day. You see, in order to have an answer leadership for their wondering, they needed to be willing to submit to God's appointed means. And God had appointed these men to give them counsel and to commune with God in their behalf and find out the Lord's leadership. And they'd be willing to submit to that. To these particular men whose counsel should be valued. Now, let me distinguish here. I'm not talking about man worship. I'm not talking about priestcraft. I'm not talking about submitting to a man because he is in a certain role or responsibility in the church. I'm talking about men whom God has appointed, and the appointment of God has been clear and evident in their lives. Moses had been used of God to deliver them out of Egypt. And he had earned a hearing. And so when they wondered, they came to the man of God and submitted themselves to the direction of that man. I know that's been greatly abused in our day, but it doesn't take away the principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul said, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Chapter 11, verse 1, he says essentially the same thing. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us." You have us for an example. So there is submission to God's appointed means. And in this case, that means was the wisdom and the intercession of the man of God that was appointed. So this is one of the components in this matter of finding God's leadership for our wondering. Secondly, there is the matter of standing still. This is a component of getting answers to what you're wondering about. Stand still, wait. Surely nothing so tries our faith and yet proves it as waiting. Let me say that again. Nothing so tries our faith and yet proves it as waiting. Waiting. I'll not turn for sake of time this morning, but the scriptures are replete and you can take them down. Psalm 25, 3 and 5 and 21. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 37, 7 through 9. Psalm 134 through 7. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. Wait on the Lord. Standing still is often in the Scriptures associated with some great deliverance in God's economy. Did you hear that? Oh, let that lesson come to your heart and to mine. Standing still is often in the Scriptures associated with some great deliverance in the Lord's economy. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. You remember out there? You remember in Exodus 13, 14 and verse 13? They needed to stand still. Stand still, he told Israel. They got up to that and he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Joshua chapter 3 and verse 8, their deliverance from the wilderness. They had to stand still. God commanded them, stand still. Oh, listen to me. Often in the Scriptures, standing still is associated with some great deliverance for our God. So when we need leadership for our wondering, we need to notice that, take advice of this component, that we stand still and wait. Thirdly, there is the component of listening. listening to what God will say. I have in my age learned somewhat the value of waiting. I have not yet learned to enjoy it, nor do I find it easy. But I have learned its value. Waiting on the Lord. Listening to His providence, to His Word. Listening to the Lord. These are the components of leadership for our wondering. But finally, I close with this. There was leadership for Israel's worship. There was leadership in this chapter for Israel's wanderings. The pillar, the cloud. There was leadership for Israel's wondering in this chapter. And finally, there's leadership against wavering. Verse 13, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, and he had no legitimate reason, explanation, no legitimate excuse for why he should not have brought the offering of the Lord, then he says, that man shall bear his sin. There's leadership against wavering. Do not fail to do the things God has appointed. May God help us all to take this lesson to our hearts, whether we feel good, whether we feel bad, whether we are popular and accepted or rejected and hated, no matter what the circumstance may be, that we would not waver from doing what God has appointed. There's leadership in this chapter against our wavering. He warns, do not fail. Do not fail. You'll be cut off. James chapter 4. That classic text in James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. They knew to keep the Passover. Don't fail. Oh, listen, in this chapter, there's so much more here than I can cover today. But you go back and look, there's leadership for Israel's worshiping. There's leadership for Israel's wanderings. There's leadership for Israel's wondering. There's leadership against our wavering. May God help us this morning, this day, to stand for it. Let's turn together, if we may, please. Stand with me and we sing together again. We close.